On SEN, Questions Without Notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions Without Notice time. Jump on the line, 1300 736 736, if you'd like to join us, or 0433 98 1116 on the Temper text. T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. If you'd like, if you join us, you could get a double pass to this Friday's race meeting at Moonee Valley. Crowds are back for Ladbroke's Friday Night Lights at the Valley. Get your tickets at thevalley.com.au. And we've got a Spinal Ease pillow to give away as well. Visit spinaleze.com.au. Questions Without Notice. Kane Corns in the house for SEN Summer Breakfast today. Got a quick one for you, Kane. I was reading in your paper that there's an Adelaide basketball court in the middle of the burbs at Felixstowe where the locals are complaining that kids are bouncing basketballs on the basketball courts, and it's annoying the hell out of them, just to bounce, bounce, bounce all day. How do they sort this one out? They've apparently put a curfew on it. They've changed the times that kids are allowed to bounce on those purpose-built basketball courts from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's still disturbing the locals to the point that they're getting a petition together, and the curfew hasn't helped either, because kids are still apparently bouncing under spotlight at midnight. They're taking the spotlights out and playing at midnight.
Well, we should be happy that our kids are outside, I would have thought, and not on the iPads and the iPhones, Dwayno, and on TikTok, Sydney Stack style. So I don't get the complaints. It took me back to my childhood, though. Mum and Dad separated when I was three. Dad lived in a group of units in Glenelg South, and he put up a basketball ring for us in a common driveway. And Chad and I used to be out there playing basketball till all hours, and the residents started complaining about Chad and I playing basketball. The noise, we must have been making that much noise, quite a small unit block. Dad nearly came to blows with the other residents because he said the kids should be out there playing sport and having a good time, where the old grandma upstairs was complaining. So that story did take me back to my childhood. I got one for you, Question Without Notice. Because I
hang on, just on this. If you've got a thought on this, 0433 98 1116, if you have a thought on that, because it does remind me, speaking of your story, imagine if way back when the neighbour said, peered over the fence and said, listen, can your young son, Don, stop hitting that golf ball with a stick up against that concrete water tank? I know your little kid, Don, reckons he's going to be a cricketer one day, but it's annoying the hell out of me. Can you stop him from doing that?
It would have changed history, wouldn't it, if that would have happened? So people just like stuff to complain about. Now, as I said, I was watching 60 Minutes last night. There was a UK broadcaster, Dwayno, who's gone viral during lockdown for calling his dogs mundane tasks. Now, if you missed it, here's a little bit of it.
Now they go, Olive, away first, but a problem with Mabel's ball. That might cost her now, having to play catch-up. Both settling quickly into rhythm. You can see the contrast in styles. Mabel, heavy tail use, happy to be alive. Everything's amazing. Olive, more steady, wasting little energy. Very much of the old Labrador school. Eating's a serious business. Don't bollocks around wagging your tail. And Mabel seems just a little sluggish here. Perhaps more was taken out of her by the worm medicine she was given last night than we thought. But Olive, focused, relentless, tasting absolutely nothing. Mabel trying, but surely a lost cause. Her title defence coming to an end. Olive taking everything. Nothing left but the bowl to lick now. And Mabel, well, doesn't seem too upset. A bit of class there from the youngster.
So it went viral, millions and millions of views. My question without notice to you, have you used your commentating skill for anything other than sport?
There was a show that my daughter was on years and years ago. I'm trying to think. It was on the Disney Channel when she was about 10, and I commentated her brushing her teeth. So, yes, I'm trying to think of what the show was. On the Disney Channel, it's there on YouTube if you want to check it out. But I would get Dennis Committee. If Dennis Committee was prepared to come around to my house and call me buttering toast, I would listen to that. Because if it's a great – that sounded like Jackie Stewart. A little bit like Jackie Stewart. It was nice.
It was brilliant.
Question that you might not be able to answer, but our listeners might be able to answer as well. Right now, Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are tied on 365.5 points each with one race to go in the Formula One Drivers' Championship after Lewis Hamilton's wins today. Who wins if they both, and they crashed into each other today, if they both crash out in Abu Dhabi? Is there some sort of countback system? Will one win or the other win? Or will there be two drivers' champions for this season? If you've got an answer for that, 0433 98 11 16, there's a question without notice that I can't answer, unless you can, Kona.
No, I definitely can't answer it, Duano. So the good listeners are a lot smarter than what I am. But I've got one for you because Liz Cambage is in the news again. So Basketball Australia said that, well, essentially they'd overlooked her the World Cup coming up. And she's come back and said, no, you asked me and I didn't put my hand up. Will she ever play for Australia again? And where does the blame lie here? Because I've got strong views on a lot of things. She's getting into Tomic, Kyrgios and Ben Simmons areas for me, Liz.
Yeah, well, it's hard because, you know, pick a side between... It's been Andrew Bogut at her, and it's been hard for Australians to pick a side in that one. Is it Hamlet? Something's not quite right in the state of Denmark. Yeah, something's going on, and it's hard unless you can get someone to actually spill their information and be honest with us how bad this is right now. But yeah, it has turned ugly. You've got to say that. And so, yeah, will she play for Australia again? Maybe not. And before we go to the break, we do have a guest joining us very shortly, the X Factor, Xavier Mumford from South East Melbourne Phoenix. There's a chance the South East Melbourne Phoenix will go past Melbourne United in terms of their achievement this year in the NBL. I had a chat with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me the question, how many flags would it take the Dogs, the Bulldogs, to become a major player in Victoria? Can they become? And I think they can. They've got a huge growth area. I think the Dogs can become one of the top two or three teams with bang for buck, membership, the whole lot in Victoria. I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. Can you ever see Port Adelaide being bigger than the Crows in Adelaide? I'm not sure anybody could ever see the Clippers being bigger than the Lakers or the Suns being bigger than the Lions. What about Port?
Yeah, I can. You're probably asking the wrong person. I can. Membership's very similar. On-field success recently, Port Adelaide's way, showdowns and all of that. I can, and I think they appeal to a younger demographic. So when those younger supporters come through and the older Crows supporters age, I think there's a very realistic chance that that could happen. But it's taken 20-odd years, 25 years, and Fremantle and West Coast the same. You could never see Fremantle going past West Coast. So you're saying that could happen this early in the NBL?
Oh, well, I think South East Melbourne Phoenix have got a really good roster. Now, so have the Wildcats, so have the Kings, so have the Hawks. There's only one game in for Melbourne United season, so they could still star this season. No Chris Golding at the moment as well, so that's knocked them around a bit. Then, look, Google guesses after only one letter, so I'm going off a bit early here, guessing after one round of the NBL. But I'm just wondering whether we could see a bit of a transition phase here where South East Melbourne Phoenix start pulling the big crowds and become the bigger ticket team here, even though in saying that, I'm trying to ask you the question. How many flags would it take Port Adelaide to be bigger than Adelaide? Would they have to win two in a row? Three?
I think it's more line ball than you would think. I think one more, and if they had have won it this year, which at one point it was looking like they could get close before capitulating, then it would have been a really interesting conversation. And it depends. Like if their rebuild takes 20 years, which... You know, who knows? If you're Carlton, it can, and Port Adelaide continue with some success, it can happen pretty quickly. So I think it's a bit more line ball over here than what you'd think.
Well, a few Crows fans about to jump on the text. By the way, speaking of the text, a couple coming through clarifying that Max Verstappen will win on a countback if they both crash out of the final Grand Prix of the season, because he's won more Grands Prix this season. That's Julian from Altona. Well, that does make interesting reading for me, maybe scary reading. One here, growing up as a skateboarder, we never had skate parks because of the fear they would bring drugs into the area. Now they're in every municipality getting kids active. And yeah, you're probably right. There's plenty of skate parks making noise, but it's great to see so many kids active at the moment. As a Demon supporter, I don't like the rematch opening the season. There's no real build-up to it. And the results in round one don't really reflect how well teams are playing. So not a true indication of the better side. That's from Andrew. I like it, round one. I like it. It's a Wednesday night. Your final say on that one, Kano, before we go to a break?
I like it this year because I think it signals, you know, a significant moment to bring crowds back and get the round one off with a bang. In future years, you know, I think round one sells itself, and certainly the season opener sells itself. You probably don't need a grand final rematch to do that, so you can probably hold it back round four, round five, and round one will be okay. But this year, I think the AFL have done a pretty good job, particularly in Victoria, with the fixture in round one.
SEN Summer Breakfast, Kane Corns with us here for Kogan. Make the switch to a great value credit card. And Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. Take a call or two after the break, 1-300-736-736, on a little bit of mid-morning madness. If you like, 1-300-736-736. And not far away, Xavier Munford, the X Factor from Southeast Melbourne Fence. Hey, something else that caught my eye, Kano, from John Anderson in the Herald Sun, saying that local footy clubs have always got money from the AFL for providing an AFL player into the system if he plays an AFL game or he plays 100 AFL games. And there's a bit of extra money if they play 100 or 200 or 300 games. But there's a danger that they won't keep doing that. Is that what happens? I didn't realise that local clubs get money at the moment and that might be taking that away.
I was aware of it because, you know, I was in the rare situation where I sort of grew up 500 metres away from the Glenelg Footy Club and Dad had coached and played there, and I was fortunate enough to go through the junior ranks. So I always loved the fact that when I was drafted and when Chad was drafted and whichever local club you were drafted from, that there was some reward going back to the club that helped you get there. And then, I guess, the significance, you know, they used to send a letter every now and then when you played a milestone game, 50 and 100, and they got a check out of that. I can't believe that they would take that away. I mean, I know times have been difficult for the AFL, but they're going to be fine. Junior clubs potentially aren't going to be. I mean, the state of the sample and other competitions. So I couldn't believe that that would be the case, that they would withdraw that funding, which is a nice little bonus for helping AFL players achieve their goals. Without the junior clubs, you're not going to have those pathways.
Well, it's a bit hard. Did you go to private school? You're Sacred Heart, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. So I'm not sure how they work out who gets the check. I mean, I'd be obviously probably not going to go to a private school, but you know, I started Glenelg like in the under 10s. So I was always really happy that they got something out of that. So yeah, it's a story that we'll follow up closely, and perhaps if we speak to the AFL this week, I think we might be on the show. We'll put that question to them about what the thought process is behind this story.
The Volcano on SEN Summer Breakfast, a couple of texts and then a break. Xavier Mumford not far away from joining us. Hi Kane and Dwayne. Regarding round one of the AFL, it might make sense for the grand finalists to play in round one as they would have had the same reduced pre-season based on required time off. Your thoughts, James in Hawthorne? Go Dees. Yeah, that kind of does make sense. I like the idea. Kane still has to be sold on it, but it is going to be a fantastic idea that they're doing it on the Wednesday night for the coming season. A break, plenty still to come on SEN Summer Breakfast.
Kogan, no annual fees, tantalising rewards, just great value. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer Breakfast.
Our last guest on the McCafe menu, Xavier Munford, not far away from joining us, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix NBL star import. Couple of texts. Kane Corns, not far away from, you heading out for a jog? Is that your normal morning plan? How many Ks you got in store today, Kane?
Yeah, no, Monday's usually an easy day, so probably just 15 this morning. I might run this afternoon, Dwayne, so just a cruisy one this morning.
So what, 15 this morning and again this arvo, will you?
Usually, yeah, usually a bit, sort of an hour or so in the morning and then half an hour, 40 minutes in the afternoon.
So that's an easy day. What's a tough day? Give us a tough day where really put your mind to it.
Well, a tough day is when you've got to do some sort of reps. So you might have 8 1K efforts off a minute recovery. So that would be what runners would call doing a session. So you might have 4x2K or 3x4K or something like that. That would be the ones that I dread. And then Sunday's a long run day where you're out there for, over 2 hours, not often pleasant sometimes either. Do I know? Most of the time it's good. Sometimes you can't be stuffed, to be honest.
So a couple of hours on a Sunday, just people stop you for a selfie or anything? Whilst you got a
well,
specific
they shout
track
abuse.
You,
like a... They shout abuse out the window. That's what. So what they do these days, they often like drive once they if they realise it's you and they want to give you some grief, they'll get right up close to you in their car and sort of film you as they're driving beside you, and they'll yell out. Right. Some sort of insult and try and get a reaction on camera. That's happened to me a couple of times, which is interesting. It's all.
What's your game plan when that happens?
Well, you just head down because you don't want to react. You don't want to be on social media because they'll put it on and share it. So you just head down and try and be restrained. Is the game plan there?
Never been close to flashing the bird or throwing a noun or a verb back in their direction.
Absolutely. When you're hot and bothered and you're sweaty, it's the last thing you sort of want, and it does take some restraint. Most people are very good, though, I must admit.
No one hands a water bottle out the window and says, "Would you like some sustenance, great guy?" None of that.
Nah, water makes you weak, I reckon. Don't you think? The old John Cale. water makes you weak. Don't try and stop for a drink.
2 hour sessions with John Cale. Yeah, you'll get a drink at the end of it, guys. What are you doing wearing that cap? Come on, toughen up. But the days were different. I'm not blaming John Cale for that. That's what every coach did in those days. Yeah. If Carlton win the flag, they will pass everyone. 80,000 members now, and they are average and have had no success for years. Could Carlton be the number one club in the land, if not the number one club in Melbourne again? Or has that time passed them by?
That's amazing.
Has every club
it?
Got a shot?
When you think about it, I mean, how loyal the Carlton supporters are, and every year there's optimism. I see a lot of it now, which I love, and we all hope Vossi does a great job. But are they the most loyal supporter base after what has been a very lean 20 years? Oh, we saw it though. We spoke to Gary Pert earlier. If you're just joining us, he said $2 million. The premiership has entered the coffers of Melbourne after what was going to be a break even season, and the Melbourne fans are everywhere. It wasn't that long ago, Dwayne, where you would have called games in front of 16,000 on a Sunday at the MCG when Melbourne are playing. Like they weren't turning up and winning papers over a lot of cracks, as you know, and they'll come out, but the responsibility is on the club to build a footy program that wins, and the rest will take care of itself.
I've seen Collingwood bad and I've seen Collingwood good. I know how big their fan base is during both. I've seen Richmond bad and I've seen Richmond good. I've seen Carlton bad and I've seen Carlton good. Same with the Dogs. I've never seen St Kilda good. So I'm always curious to know whether St Kilda... They got a lot of fans here in Melbourne, Kano. If they were good, if they won two flags, it could be crazy how many fans they've got just waiting to come out of the woodwork.
Probably similar to Melbourne, wouldn't
it? I'm asking
for
too much, aren't I?
Yeah, well, maybe. But not really. I mean, we've seen drought-breaking premierships recently. It's been the great stories that have the last five, six, seven seasons have given us. And if St Kilda were to do the same, I would imagine the scenes will be similar to what we've seen from Melbourne. They will come from everywhere. I just don't think, unfortunately, although we wouldn't have said that about Melbourne. I mean, they missed the finals to win a premiership. I just don't think St Kilda's got enough talent, and they've made a few mistakes in building their list. We'll wait and see. You'd like to see it. It's going to be a fascinating season. Big year for Brett Ratten, there's no doubt about that. Sam Kerr, we touched on. She scored a couple in the FA Cup win for Chelsea. Who would you rather be? Who's the biggest star in the country right now, Ash Barty or Sam Kerr?
Oh, Ash is winning a lot of prize money. It shouldn't come down to prize money. I'd rather be a soccer player than a tennis player. So can I put that on it? I'd probably rather be... Soccer's more a game that I think, I wish I could play that. Tennis is a great sport, but I don't necessarily, think, I would have loved to have been great at that. I would have loved to have played in the EPL. As much as when Pat Cash was wielding a racket, I would have loved to have won Wimbledon too. But I reckon it would have been crazy playing in the EPL. That would have been nice. What about yourself?
I'm the opposite. I would love to be a tennis player. I would love to be on tour as a tennis player. Now I don't. I'm sure it gets lonely, and living out of a suitcase and doing it on your own would be tough. I get the team sport aspect of it, But, I mean, they're both freaks. Sam Kerr, I had a look at her. I didn't see it live, but went back on Chelsea's Twitter account. Her two goals were two of the classiest goals you're ever going to see. The second one she slotted was the third for Chelsea. They won 3-0. The chip over the keeper was arrogance, really. She's got the ball a fair way outside of the box, running at full speed, two touches, and then she's had the audacity to chip the keeper. Like, she's absolute class. So I think in terms of star factor and what she brings to the sport, I think Sam Kerr is probably there's some more star factor about it, but that's not a criticism of Ash at all, because I love her humble nature and the way she goes about it. But I probably think worldwide, Sam Kerr is on her way to being a bigger star.
Yeah, good way of looking at it. I think I'd rather play a team sport than an individual sport. I think that's what my mind's attuned to. And I do think I'd like a sport with a bit of body contact. So that might be why soccer's my preference. A couple here on the text as well. Essendon, 85,000 members. Yep. We haven't won a flag in 21 years.
True.
Drug saga in the middle of that as well. Essendon, the biggest club in Australia. And yeah, I suppose there was a big us against them period as well during that horrific time 7-8 years ago. So yeah, Essendon could be the biggest sleeping giant of the lot. We'll take a break. Back to wrap up. Hopefully Xavier Mumford is going to take our call. He's training at the moment in the South East Melbourne import, but boy, did he star on the weekend. And a couple more questions without notice from you as well, if you'd like to send them through 0433 98 1116 on the text machine. For Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. Kane Corns with us for another couple of minutes before he goes for his little light 15K day off job.
Just some...
That was Questions Without Notice for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.